Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And Kyle, going into last week, you wanted a dominant win. Was 45-14 big enough for you against New Mexico State?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, offensively, looked pretty good. Defensively, 14 is fine, but something that Coach Drinkwitz hit on after the game, I don't think Missouri had a three and out all night, which was interesting. That New Mexico State's both quarterbacks that they had play, which I think they'd been going with one guy, but an injury brought in the other for a bit. He looked a little better, so they stuck with him. Both of those guys could really run, so they were able to kind of make some plays on third down that kept drives alive. But, you know, two interceptions, both in the second half, both looked pretty good. One for a pick six, that's always nice.
Right.
So I guess the only thing would be, yeah, Missouri didn't have a three and out, so there wasn't any drives where the defense looked necessarily dominant.
Right.
Everything else, yeah, that was about what you needed.
And I guess, you know, 45 is a big enough number for us offensively, I think, from the standpoint of if it maybe would have been less than that, I would have been maybe a little more concerned. But, you know, 45, I think, is plenty against that team, especially with the way the game played out.
Sure, and the offense was very efficient. I think they scored on, like, 7 of 8 drives or 8 of 9 or something, and the other one was going into the half. They threw a Hail Mary. And, yeah, I mean, Pretty good day from the offense. Looked efficient all around.
Right. And I think, you know, I think the other thing that about that I think looks fine is the fact that, it was 28-0 and the game was effectively over. Because I think, you know, there might be a tendency if it were closer, you want to put the pedal to the metal and really bury somebody. You could have maybe put up a few more points. But I feel like after it got to 28-0, I feel like the game was effectively done.
Well, yeah, there's no reason to keep pushing after, at that point, you know, 28-0, 35-7 or... There's no reason to keep it going, which is why you got pretty much all of the backups in at some point and finally got a look at Sam Horn for a series, and then got Jack Abraham for the couple of series after that to
Right.
let him celebrate his I assume like fourth senior day of his career. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that was kind of the one thing where we finally got what we were asking for. We got some Sam Horn time, but we didn't probably get as much as we would have liked just based on circumstances. And I think, yeah, I think he had, you know, one great throw that got called back by penalty, and so it was kind of like one of those things where you go, okay, well, we didn't get to see much.
It was a really nice throw.
Yeah, it was.
You know, that completion was one that I don't remember seeing Missouri make much this year. So.
Right.
I was surprised he didn't just get the second half.
Right.
He got the first series of the fourth quarter. Yeah, I was a little surprised that Brady was still in for the third quarter.
So I guess that leads me to the next question, which was, do you think that then was just a product of Brady Cook was kind of, he's kind of been hitting his stride the last couple games, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, but do you think this was maybe just like, oh, hey, Brady's kind of rolling, let's just kind of keep a good thing going, rather than let's just pull him even though on any other circumstance we might have pulled him at this point? Do you think maybe they stuck with him longer because of that?
Maybe. I mean, I think saying that it's a confidence booster is probably realistic. You know, you've got one very important game left. You want your main guy feeling as good as possible
Right.
going into it. So I would get that as an argument. I was just kind of surprised. Brady played well in the first half, too. You know, feels like a game and a half of as well as he's played would still have been as much of a confidence booster as a game in three quarters.
Right. So I guess, you know, long story short is we get to where we wanted to be at this point. We wanted them to be 5-6 heading into their last game. You know, we got another chance to be bowl eligible, even though they could possibly be bowl eligible with a loss, but let's not go there. So I guess the next thing is can they keep this kind of last couple games rolling? And let's start with Brady Cook. This has been, you know, two of his better games of the season, and it sounds like we've kind of maybe found out a reason why this week.
Yeah, so according to a report from Power Mizzou, Bush Hamden, the quarterback's coach, has been calling plays on offense for the most part the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Apparently Drinkwitz says it's still, you know, a committee of coaches on offense.
Sure.
Or, you know, working together to make the plays, but Hamden's been making the final calls. And it's led to Brady Cook's best two games. The offense's best two games in a good while.
Right.
You know, at Tennessee game, definitely the best the offense has played against an SEC team. Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's been more cohesive, more impressive these last 2 weeks, certainly.
And it almost kind of makes you think, well, we wish maybe they'd gone to it maybe even a game earlier. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you know, looking back, you know, before that was the Kentucky game where you go, okay, maybe, you know, that one was so close enough that if they do play just a scrap better
offense looked so bad.
Yeah, so
Kentucky, both teams' offenses, that wasn't just a Missouri
game. Sure, sure, but you go, okay, if they pulled the trigger a game earlier, then that would be, you know, you could be looking at, you know, who knows what at this point, because it maybe would have been, you know, one more game that they could have had before going into Tennessee. I don't think anything changes the outcome of that game just based on how that played out. But you go, okay, well, you know, better, you know, late than never, I guess. Right. But, you know, it's nice to at least see that it seems like things have gotten better for the one thing we thought maybe was a lost cause this year.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about it a little bit. I can't remember if it was on the pod or off, but you know, having Eli give up play calling, or the majority of the play calling on offense, was something that we have discussed this year as being an area of possible improvement.
Sure.
And it seems like that's been the case these last 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, you can say, what if they did it a week earlier? Well, what if they did it 3 weeks earlier? You know, could you be 8-4 right now going into the last week, or 8-3, 7-4, whatever, going into the last week.
Or with the way this team's been snake bit this year, maybe it wouldn't have mattered at all.
Maybe not.
Because
yeah,
it's been such a weird year.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I guess the point is, you're 5-6. You're looking to get, you know, evened at 6-6. Maybe go to a bowl. If you get a win there, all of a sudden you end up above 500, which we were thinking was going to be a hard road to hoe, based on where things were at one point. I guess the downside of it is. You know, it's not a fantastic Arkansas team you're playing at 2:30 today at Faro, but it's a team that's coming off a pretty good win last week, and I mean they beat down Ole Miss pretty bad last week and beat them 42-27.
And they've got some talented offensive players.
Yeah.
I can't remember their names right now, but their quarterback came back last week to start, and he's fully back. Their starting running back realistically could go for 1,500 yards this season if he gets, I think, a little over 100 this week. Or in a bowl game, you know, add that on. So, realistically, like, they've got a couple of very, very good playmakers on offense that could cause Missouri's defense trouble, especially since that defense has looked worse the last 2 weeks than it has, you know, the 4 or 5 weeks before.
Yeah, I guess that's my concern, is for a while there, it was like we were just depending on it, and it was kind of something we could set our watch by. And it's not that, you know, they've been terrible, it's just that it's been exposed a little bit the last couple of weeks, and you go, okay, is that just a byproduct of, you know, they had to come up so big so many times in the early stages of the season? Did they just get worn out? Was it just law of averages that it had to catch up with them? I don't know what it is, but you're kind of hoping that maybe we see the defense of, you know, a month ago rather than the last couple of weeks.
Well, and, you know, against Tennessee, that's just a hard task. And
sure.
Terrible news out of Tennessee for last week. Losing Hendon Hooker, that's really too bad. I thought he was probably going to win the Heisman, but, you know, who knows now.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, the Tennessee game, it's kind of whatever at a certain point, where that's just a really good offense.
Sure.
This week seemed a little more telling. You were giving up sustained drives. You were able to finish them off, but more sustained than they should be against a team that you should have been able to stop pretty easily, and that's not the best look going into a very talented Arkansas offense.
So I guess the biggest thing that I take away is how much of this game is just going to be rising to the occasion for them, because again, it's all in front of you. It's you know, we're going to salvage it. You know, again, I feel like it's one of those games where, you know, it's kind of one of those spotlight games too. You know, it's Friday at 2:30. You know, it's the day after Thanksgiving, the Friday after Thanksgiving. So you're kind of looking at that game going, there's going to be a lot of eyes on you.
Yeah.
So can you do what you maybe did earlier in the year in some games where eyes were on you, and, you know, you kind of got the attention of people, and just don't shrink from the moment?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to put it. Just, you know what this game means. Getting, and as we've talked about, you could get a bowl if you're 5-7, you don't really want that. But getting back to 6-6, being 500 on the year, and going out impressively with a win against a good Arkansas team, that would be, you know, a much better way to end the season. And having the spotlight on you is, you know, the Friday after Thanksgiving, those games are always pretty fun. So hopefully, you know, Missouri's able to really get up for it.
Yeah. Again, I think it's one of those things where you go, okay, you have been pointing towards this all year long. You know, you want to improve this, you want to improve this. I just feel like this game has just a lot of things going for it, both in terms of, I mean, it's a rivalry game, yes, so that's a big thing. It's a game to make you bowl eligible, that's the thing. It's a chance to get you into a bowl that could then kind of turn around what was late half of the season. Plus, it's a springboard into the postseason recruiting, which I don't think we've talked about a lot about, you know, as the season's going on, but there are areas to address, and I think, obviously, the recruiting window is different than it ever has been before, just right, based on everything that's changed in the last couple of years. But I do still feel like the last memory you can put in people's minds is still a big thing when it comes to recruiting.
Sure.
So I feel like this is another one of those games where, you know, not only do you always want to finish strong, but you want to finish strong when you're heading into recruiting. So that's just another piece where I feel like there's a lot riding on this game. And again, I feel like sometimes the enormity of that can get to you. Sometimes maybe the players don't think about it that much. Maybe that's a thing that the coaching staff is more thinking about. But you want everybody as focused and as relaxed and you know, executing as properly as they can going into this one. So I feel like this is just another one where don't let the moment get to you too much, even though it's got a lot riding onto it. And it could, you know, alter some futures here in the near future.
Absolutely. I mean, being able to say you ended the season 4-2 is a lot better than 3-3, or, you know, saying you got back to 500 after a portion of the season where it looked like that probably wasn't going to happen.
Right.
And the other thing, it's not just the recruiting window that opens up, but the transfer window is going to open up in early December too, before you have a chance to play your bowl game, whatever it is. You know, it's not just opening up for who's going to be coming in, but it's opening up for who you might lose. And if you're able to say, like, look at how much better we played, how much more cohesive we looked these last few weeks, we can build and keep going and make this better next year, that's a much better argument than saying, like, oh, we squeaked into a bowl at 5-7, but, you know, and then who knows who's on the way out after that.
Yeah. So with all that being said, and with all the things that are going into this game, and with there being a lot riding on this, this is a time where you want to be playing your best and have everybody on hand to help you play your best. Sounds like that might not be the case this week.
A lot of guys went out with injuries last week.
Okay.
During the New Mexico State game. We're recording this a little earlier than we usually do because of the holiday, so there's no official reporting yet on, you know, who is in, who's out, who's doubtful and all that. It sounds like Barrett Bannister is probably not going to play. He went out pretty late and wasn't at practice on Tuesday.
Okay.
Chris Abrams, Dane, Isaiah McGuire, Xavier Simmons, Joseph Charleston all left the game. It's the only one who's had a further report is, it seems like Xavier Simmons is probably done for the year, but he, you know, not a massive, massive loss. And then Tyrone Hopper didn't play last week after getting injured against Tennessee. So we don't know for sure on any of those guys. Just what we know as of right now is it seems like Barrett Bannister is probably out, and the rest of those guys are probably at best questionable.
Yeah. So again, I guess it's just a matter of focus probably at this point. It's just the fact that, yeah, you may not have some of those guys. You may not have everybody that you want. You know, coaches are famous for saying, well, it's the next man up then. But it's obviously something where you go, okay, I think it's just a matter of whoever gets in there at this point is just going to have to not be the reason you lose.
Yeah, good thing is, you know, a lot of the backups were going to be playing last week anyways, and the backup defense looked pretty good. Again, that's New Mexico State instead of Arkansas.
Right.
So, you know, a little bit different. But, you know, the guys who got their opportunities last week and the guys who, because of injuries, maybe got them a little earlier than expected to during that game, played pretty well and showed up pretty well. So it seems like maybe, you know, the next man up thing isn't a terrible, I know it's a cliche, but Yeah, that might just actually be the thing with Missouri's defense, is they have enough good players to do that.
And it's not just Missouri. I mean, I know that there are reports about, you know, Arkansas maybe missing linebacker Bumper Poole, who, first of all, seems like he's been there for, I don't know, a decade now. But, I know that he's doubtful or questionable, I guess, going into this one with a couple different injuries. I think there was a back and hip or something else. But it sounds like, you know, they may be missing him, the guys too, which... You kind of expect that at this point in the season. So I guess, you know, yeah, they're probably more injured than they like, but who isn't more injured than they like at this point in the season?
Nobody's fully healthy once you get to the last couple weeks of the year.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I guess that just gets us to the point where I say, then, with all that being said, who comes out on top on this one?
I've been pretty impressed with Missouri's offense the last couple of weeks. So I'll say they keep that up and... get back to 500 to give Eli Drinkwitz his third 500 season and get to the third straight bowl win or bowl game, which would be the first time in, I think, more than a decade. I'm pretty sure the last three bowl stretch was like 2009 to 2011. And that was a longer stretch, but that was the last 3 years of it. So I'll say Missouri 27-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McRaby, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McRaby on Twitter at Kyle_McRaby. That's McRaby. Thanks for listening.